So, why is basketball the messiest Olympic sport? Because the players dribble all over the court. And what do you call the commercials aired during the summer and winter games? Olympiads. And why does Cinderella never win the Olympics? She has a pumpkin for a coach and runs away from the ball. In the movie this week, we're talking about Cool Runnings. And Cool Runnings is about a Jamaican bobsled team. And if it sounds absurd to you, it pretty much is. When they go to the Olympics, everyone thinks they're a joke. It's one man's dream to be in the bobsled team because he wasn't able to do it with track. So he gets together a team, and they practice in Jamaica. And of course, there's no ice, so they're just using a cart with wheels. And they go to the Olympics. Everyone thinks they're going to be a joke, kind of writes them off. And their first run on the ice ever, their practice run, does not go well. They don't even get all the guys in the bobsled the right way. And it's just a disaster. Everyone thinks, no way they're going to do anything here at the Olympics. Their first run in competition goes about the same. Not so great. So they decide that they're going to change things up and do it the Jamaican way instead of trying to copy other teams. And they do really well in their second run. They're actually in contention for a medal when they get up to do their final third run. Their final third run, they get up going, starts off really well, and then their sled starts to fall apart and have complications with their sled, and they end up crashing. Everyone is devastated. The medics come rushing in, but the guys are okay. The guys, however, want to finish because for them, finishing is important. And so they pick up the sled, put it on their shoulders, and about 50 yards from the finish line, they carry their sled over the finish line so that they can finish the race. For them, how they finish is important. Finishing is important. And in our own lives, how we finish matters. How we finish this life matters. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is finishing well. We just can't coast to the end of our lives and just hope that everything works out. Because the end of our life could be at any minute. We have to finish well. We need to live each day as if it were our last. And how we live and how we finish matters in the end. Last week we talked about kindness, and I gave you homework to report to me how you did on your acts of kindness. And several of you did tell me what your random acts of kindness were. One person helped coworkers, even though it wasn't their job to help them. One person weed-eated a neighbor's yard. One person gave an encouraging word to someone who was struggling. Someone checked on a person who lives alone. Someone helped their neighbor celebrate a birthday that nobody knew about. Someone gave cookies to a family. And I was happy that the family was me. And some of you told me that you were the recipients of acts of kindness this week, which is also great. We had more meals brought in for us for Lori's recovery, which was great. Another act of kindness. Showing acts of kindness is part of finishing well. Treating people the way that you want to be treated is part of finishing well. Doing the right thing, even when no one is looking, is part of finishing well. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is writing to seven churches in Asia Minor. And in all of these churches, he's reminding them to remember their first loves, to remember how they started so that they finish well. In chapter 3, verse 1, he's writing a letter to Sardis. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. This church had a reputation for being alive. They were following Christ wholeheartedly and living the way that they were supposed to be living. But now Jesus says that they are dead. They have fallen away. And Jesus says, wake up, repent, turn from your sins and come back to the way of God. The verse says that their actions don't meet the requirements of God. Literally, that means their duty has been left unfulfilled. Their duty to live as followers of Christ is being unfulfilled because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. The standard of following Jesus is very high, and they have missed the mark. Their answer, Jesus' answer to them, is to repent. Turn to Christ again. If you're sitting here today and you have found yourself wandering from Christ, Jesus tells you the same thing. Repent and turn back to Christ. Do what you're supposed to be doing. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Start doing it. Start doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back suddenly, without warning. And how will he find you living? Will you be living well? Will you be finishing well? That's the question that we're addressing today. Jesus also addresses a letter to the church in Laodicea, beginning in verse 14 of chapter 3. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also, buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. This passage provides some great imagery of spitting. When I was a youth pastor, I would show a clip from Big Daddy, and it was the clip of the kid hawking a loogie. And he would spit it out of his mouth, and it would drip down to the end, and right before it touched the ground, he would suck it back into his mouth. And I said, kids, do you want to be stuck to the end of that loogie? But in reality, the text is telling us that the spitting is more violent vomiting out of the mouth. And so it's more of a splash that you don't want me to demonstrate today with our current pandemic. But that's the idea, is this violent splash. That's how you're going to be spit out of Jesus' mouth. Violently spewed out of Jesus' mouth if you're living a lukewarm life. And he says, what good is lukewarm water? You have hot water, which is good for cleaning, good for hot cocoa, for tea, for coffee. You have cold water, which is good for drinking. Okay, on a hot day, it quenches your thirst. But lukewarm water, you don't really want to drink lukewarm water. What good is lukewarm water? It's really useless. And so are we if we don't live our lives for Christ. We are the lukewarm water that is useless and has no purpose or plan for our lives if we're not following Jesus. The biggest problem, I think, for this church is that they don't see how they became lukewarm. They've probably just taken small steps away from following Christ. They didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to turn from Christ today. No, they made small decisions each and every day that took them just a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further, until pretty soon Jesus is saying, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. It was probably subtle at first. probably no one was too alarmed. But those small things add up. And guys, sin is a progression. Someone doesn't just wake up one day and commit what we would consider one of the big sins. It starts small. It starts with small compromises along the way that lead you down the path to do something drastic. For example, think about a man who cheats on his wife. He doesn't just one day wake up and say, I'm going to cheat on my wife today. There are small steps that he has made to get further and further away from Christ before making that decision. Perhaps it starts with pornography. Now, the culture says it's okay. Everybody's looking at it. Then moves on to starting to look lustfully at a woman in his mind. Sin starts in the mind. Then maybe it's the harmless flirting and the physical touching, and then maybe spending time alone in secret until finally he commits that ultimate act of betrayal. It's a progression. We have to be vigilant at the beginning, because he could have stopped all of that at the beginning if he would have just dealt with the sin at the beginning, at the source, instead of letting it snowball and become progressively more distant from Christ. Sin is a progression, and it doesn't just happen. The man took small steps away from what it means to be following Christ, to be perfect. I imagine if you asked him, he would say he never intended to commit adultery. But by just taking those small steps, it leads him down that path. Where have you made compromises in your spiritual life? What do you give up spending time with Christ for? How do you prioritize your time? How do you spend your money? If you want to know what's important to someone, look at their date book and their checkbook. Rabbi Ravindra said, if you look at a person's checkbook and date book, you know what their religion really is. That's convicting. Where are you spending your time? Where are you spending your money? Are you spending the time and money on things of this world, or are you spending them on things that really matter, that are Christ-centered? It started small for the church in Laodicea. It started small. They didn't start out lukewarm. They started on fire for God. Then they took small steps away from what they were supposed to be doing. We don't just wake up one morning and decide to turn from Christ. It's small steps. Casting Crowns has a song called Slow Fade. It says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's the second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the string. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white are turned to gray. And thoughts invade, choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. A devotion based on that song that the band did was came from Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delights in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Notice the progression that this takes. First, the wicked man, he walks in step with the wicked. Then he stands with sinners. Then finally, he's sitting with the mockers. First, he's just in a little. Then he's staying a little longer. And then finally, he's seated right among them. It's a progression. It's a slow fade. It's a slow step-by-step coming away from what he's supposed to do. It's a slow and steady process toward finishing poorly. So again, my question is, how will you finish? How you finish matters. John writes in 2 John, "Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." So what is the teaching that John is talking about in this context? He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the teaching that Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, was in the tomb, rose again from the dead, and now offers us eternal life. That is the gospel. That is the teaching that we cannot stray from. And he says, if you believe in that gospel, then you have the gift of eternal life. You get your reward. You will have God. But if you stray from that gospel, if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you do not have God. Because you're not calling on Jesus for your salvation. And without Jesus, there is no salvation. If you want your reward, stick to the teachings of the gospel and follow Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. In addition to the gospel teaching, John is also talking in this context about loving one another. I'm going to read you the whole passage this time from the New Living Translation version, and listen to the subtle differences in how this is translated. "I am writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and He has commanded us to love one another, just as you have heard from the beginning." From the beginning of the gospel message, from the beginning of Jesus and the disciples' teaching, they have been teaching to love one another. "I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body, denying the gospel message. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out so that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son." Again, the stress is on the belief of the teaching and following the command to love one another. Are you doing that? Are you loving your neighbor? Are you treating people the way that you would like to be treated? That is the greatest commandment. Love God and love others. When Jesus was asked, that's what he summed up the entire law, the entire Testament up, with those two commands. Love God and love others. If we're not loving God and we're not loving others, we've got a serious problem. And it says we do not have God. Because if God is inside of us, then God's love is going to be pouring out of us. And we're going to be loving other people. We're going to be showing kindness. We're going to be sharing our faith. We're going to be spending time with God in our studies, in devotion, in prayer. We're going to be doing things for other people, not just taking, not just focusing on ourselves. We're going to be focusing on other people. Because that's what the Spirit of God is all about. Other people. In Galatians 6, Paul says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Don't miss that. You will always harvest what you plant. You may not think so, and you may not think that it looks like that in life now. But in the end, everyone's going to harvest what they plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest what? Decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't end poorly. Don't be like the church in Laodicea, who started well but became lukewarm. Don't be like the church in Sardis, who started well but lost their first love. How we finish matters. How we finish matters. And are you finishing well? Are you doing what you know you should be doing? Are you doing good, especially to those in the family of faith? We don't know when our ending begins. We don't know if it's today, tomorrow, next week, or 10 years from now. None of us is guaranteed a single second on this earth. And if today is the end for you, how will you be graded on your finish? Jesus in Luke 12 says, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. No one knows when the end will come. Certainly the end times are getting closer, but we don't know when the end times will be. Are you ready? Are you finishing well? Because how you finish matters. And we never know when we're on our final lap. Finish well.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.